Charles Spurgeon once said, "Those who navigate little streams and shallow creeks know but little of the God of Tempest, but those who do business in great waters, these see his wonder in the deep, and among the huge Atlantic waves of bereavement, of poverty, temptation, and reproach, we learn the power of Jehovah because we feel the littleness of man." How often do we ask, "Where are you, God? Why have you not answered me? Why do I not feel you? Where are you? Are you listening? Do you care? And how can something like this happen to me? And when will all of this chaos end?" We think that we can't endure any more. We're at the end of our rope. Our patience has run out. We're scared and we're tired. And we're coming to realize that we've been living a lie. And we are perfect prey for the dragon, for Satan, who roams the earth looking for those who are weak in spirit, who can be easily deceived, and then he comes upon them seeking only to devour them. But in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us that we are to dress in the armor of God, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul reminds us of why. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So what is the armor of God? It is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. It's your feet being fitted with readiness. It's the shield of faith in your hand to deflect the flaming arrows of the evil one. It's the helmet of salvation covering your head. And the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, in your hand that will direct you in all circumstances if you will but call upon it. We are to pray with all kinds of prayer on all occasions, to be alert and keep praying. We are to trust that God is in control of all things and he will see us through. And so do you look for God in all things? Are you thankful to him for your paycheck each payday? Yes, you did the work, but he provided a place for you to work, a way for you to get to work, and the ability to do the job you're doing. And when you buy groceries, do you thank him for a place to buy groceries? You do realize that many areas of the world do not have the access to the quality, the quantity, or availability of the variety of fruits that we have to choose from? Do you thank him when you sit down to your meal for all the hands that have made possible the food that is before you? Not just the hands that prepared it, but for those who grew it, picked it, processed it, and delivered it to you. There is much work, and many hands are used to get food to your table. Do you ever stop to think about the one who orchestrated all of this? In Job chapter 1, it starts out, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God, and he shunned evil." If you were able to take this passage of Scripture and insert your name in the place of Job's, would it still read, "In the land of America, there lived a man whose name was," insert your name, "this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil." Now stop and think about for a moment of all the attributes that it takes to fill Job's shoes. Being blameless, upright, fearing God and shunning evil. These things Job could only get by being in a relationship with God. He sought after God. Do you live a life where God is evident in what you do, in what you say, and in how you react to the world around you? Do you live a life of integrity, of truth, one that shows good moral character and trustworthiness? Are you a reflection of the Creator God, or are you creating yourself in an image that you deem worthy and demanding the acceptance of your vision of this life and how it should be lived by those around you? In the Old Testament was a man named Job. And Job, as we would say, had it all. He had wealth and family and friends. He was a man who was loved, who loved and feared God, a man who prayed for his children. He helped take care of his neighbors. He was a man of integrity and of good moral character. And in the blink of an eye, all that he had in the world was taken from him. He was in that moment being tested by God and tempted by the devil. What if it were you? What if everything you have and hold dear today were gone tomorrow? What would you do? What would you say or think? Would you be angry? Would you feel sorry for yourself? Would you think that there's no use to go on and give up your life? Might you come before the Lord and ask for deliverance from the situation you were in and the strength to endure it till the end of its time? And when it's all been said and done, might you be found standing yet? Is the Lord the foundation of your life? If the ground under your feet is unsteady, then ask yourself, do I trust in him or do I still trust in my own instincts and on my own strength? Job and his friends sat for quite some time, and they had many conversations. Questions had been asked, accusations had been made, and feelings were sorely pricked. And God listened to all of these conversations. Remember, he knows our hearts, our thoughts, our strengths, and our weaknesses. He knows our thoughts, our words, our actions before we know them ourselves. And he himself then questions Job. And these following are a few of the many questions that God asked Job to answer him about, if he were able. And so he asked Job, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? And on what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? And who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the cloud its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? And when I said, this far you may come and no further? Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you ever journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? And have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me, if you know all of this, what is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths of their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? And what is the way to the place where lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? And Job finally answers God, and humbly he says, I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. And you asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? And surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so the next time you are questioning your circumstances, be reminded of who set the sun in its place of wonder to provide life for the earth, and of who it was that painted the heavens for his glory and set the earth on its foundation. Who was the one who said, let there be, and it was? Be mindful that he created a paradise, and in it he placed the crowning jewel of all his creation, man, and that it has never been God that caused the pains of war or death on the earth, but it is us, mankind. We have done this to ourselves. We have brought ourselves to the point we now face by our actions, by our rejection of God and by his ways, and by our misplaced trust in looking for another who is like us to lead us out of the darkness that surrounds us. when they themselves have no light in them. There is only one who was able to do what was needed to be done, and he was hung on a tree for offering the deliverance of all people from the evil that surrounds them. From 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Come, Jesus says, come and follow me.